It has been our practice over these last months to ask three questions of the passages of Scripture that we're looking at. The first one is, what does it teach us about God? It's a good question in this passage. Second is, what does it teach us about ourselves? What do we need to learn about ourselves? And the third one is, okay, if what's true is about God, if it's what true what we're saying about ourselves, then what do I need to do? What do I need to change? We're going to come to those questions at the end, but I want to open the text with you this morning ahead of time before we come to those questions. And so the first word you'll notice in this passage is the word therefore. And so we always need to take note of that. We have to back up, because what Jesus is about to say is based on what he just said. He said something that was important, and now he's going, therefore, based on what I just said, I've got something else to say to you. So what he just said, if you back up to verse 19, is, do not lay up treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy. And I'm going to add fires to that, because that's very, very appropriate for BC right now, isn't it? People losing treasures on earth by fire. Verse 20 says, rather, lay up treasure in heaven where there is no risk of loss. You cannot lose when you lay up treasure in heaven. And Jesus is intentionally creating a tension for us, that nothing on this earth will survive. Nothing is going to survive. And if we are attached to the things on earth, he's warning us by saying, you're going to lose it. One way or the other, you're going to lose it, and you will be devastated. And it's not about what you have. And this is a really important distinction in this passage. It's not about what you have, because we all have stuff. It's about what you're attached to. It's about what you love. Because he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So he's connecting the treasure with the heart. Not just that it's a possession, but that it's a treasure. Then he says this in verse 24, again, no one can serve two masters. He'll hate the one and love the other. And he says, you cannot serve God and money. So you're going to have stuff on earth. Okay, we're going to have stuff. But you can't serve both the stuff and God. You can't love both the stuff and God. So this is really about what's important to you. What do you treasure? And it's interesting that the things that we don't treasure, if we lose them, we go, no big deal. I haven't lost much. It's not gonna affect me too much. It's the stuff that we treasure that we go, oh man, I hope I didn't lose this when I go back to my property. That when I go back to my home in West Kelowna, I hope this is okay. I hope that's okay. And the stuff that doesn't matter to us, we just go, so if it burns, it really doesn't matter. Based on that, okay? Based on the fact that our anxiety goes up in proportion to how much we treasure something, based on that truth, he says, therefore, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat and drink. And so Jesus is actually creating a level playing field for everyone who is listening. This teaching is not just for those who are rich enough to have treasured investments or properties, because a lot of people don't have that. Some people do, and that's great. But he wants this teaching to be for everybody, so he brings it down to the necessities of life, basic food and clothing. And on that level, he's speaking to all of us. And he speaks about two categories of things that we might get anxious about. There's the eating and the drinking, which is food, and then there's the body, about what to wear. And again, his thesis statement in verse 25, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And so he presents his thesis statement in the form of a question going, isn't this true? Like, have you thought about this? Is it true? Isn't it true? Is this your experience? And if it is true, then you have to ask, what is it that's worth more than all these treasured possessions? What is the more? Now, food and clothing are clearly essential for life. There's no question there. But is the pursuit of the essentials of life Is that what life is about? Is that the essence of life? And you know, for many people, it is. We hear a lot on the news these days about food banks running short. A lot of people with, I guess we call it now, food insecurity, where there's not that stable storage of food. We hear a lot about homelessness. And as soon as the winter shows up, we're going to be hearing about proper clothing for people under the winter conditions. And so that is, for many people, just the focus of everyday life. And we've asked our governments to come in and task them with stable food and stable housing for everybody. We've considered this to be an essential for everybody. So the governments are just putting more and more money into food banks. Just this week they announced that number of millions of dollars again being handed out to food banks, because there is an understanding that these are the essentials of life and everybody gets them. That's what we're aiming for. But then we ask, is that actually enough? Because truth be told, we would love to have some discretionary money for our choice of food. It's not just about the essential of food. It's about, do I get to choose which food I eat? Do I get to choose the clothing that I wear? And so now it becomes a matter of fashion. And it's not just fashion of what we wear. It's fashion of our homes. There's an entire television network, entire channel that's devoted to convincing you that your house is outdated and that this bathroom has got to go. You just can't live with that. Why? Because it's a treasure and it reflects on us. And so then you ask, where does this process stop? All these things eventually, if we're not careful, move from being essentials to becoming treasures, where now what we value is fine dining. We want the really expensive wine list, the designer clothing. And how many homes do we need? And somewhere along the way, the food and the clothing shift from being necessities. Somewhere along the way, they shift to being treasures. And it's not just based on the monetary value. It's based on, when does it become an attachment? When does it actually grab our heart so we go, oh, I hope I don't lose that. I hope that when the fire comes, at least that part will be saved. So it seems that this is, and I think Jesus is saying this, that this is a standard way of evaluating life. That basic life is about the essentials of food and clothing and shelter, but that the good life is about better food and clothing and shelter. And Jesus' question is simply this: is not life more than this? Really, is that what we think life is? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Are you starting to feel a little bit offended here by Jesus? He gives us two examples to make his point. The first one's about food and the second one's about clothing. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And so let me state the obvious here. Birds are not human. Okay? We're together on that? They are not created in the image of God. They do not have our human capacity for planting and harvesting and gathering into barns, saving up for tomorrow. They do not have that capacity, and yet they always have food. So point number one, God feeds the birds, okay? Point number two, he says, are you not more valuable than them? And it's a simple logic that he's saying this. Part of his creation is so simple, the birds of the air. And if he would care for what is really the simplest part of creation, would he not care for the pinnacle of his creation? And simple logic would say yes. But here's the challenge. As humans, not like birds, we actually have to choose to do something that the birds do not have to choose. We have to choose intentionally. to depend on God for our food. We have to choose that. Birds cannot provide for themselves. They cannot choose to participate in their own provision. God takes care of it, and they simply receive, and that's the end of the equation. But we, my friends, are made in the image of God, which is a good thing. But just like in the Garden of Eden, giving us choices means that we can participate in ways that are inappropriate. And so we are given a choice. And we need to understand that God's invitation for us to participate in our daily provision is very different from being responsible for our daily provision. And our tendency is to step in and take charge and to behave like we are the providers of our family and we will take care, and so we're going to take matters into our own hands. And you know what happens is that when we take these matters into our own hands, life does become about food and clothing and shelter. And when the cupboards are looking a little bare, we do get anxious because we're responsible. And so it's the human condition that gives us the capacity to make this shift from participating in provision to actually being responsible for provision. And it's not a good shift. Example 2, clothing. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the field, the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Again, it's kind of the same thing. Flowers do not have the capacity to spin yarn and to toil in a clothing factory. God takes care of it. And his point here is that God does it in style. He compares the richest guy with probably the finest clothing ever, Solomon. He compares Solomon and everything that he had to the flowers of the field. And he says, there's just no comparison. You ever been hiking in an alpine meadow and you're just at that time when the flowers are just, they're just perfect. They've all bloomed just for you that day, and how short a time that lasts. And he says, you take the beauty of the field and you think about how short that beauty lasts, how brief it is. It blooms today, and he says, tomorrow it's used for kindling to cook your fire. In other words, God places so much beauty in his creation that's here today and he's gone tomorrow. Doesn't it make sense that he would take care of you, his creation that's eternal? Like, is this not simple to understand? And so his point is, God cares about you. And so he gives us these two examples. And he tells us that the difference between us and the birds, the difference between us and the flowers, is that we actually do plant fields. We do harvest crops. We do save up for tomorrow. We do spin yarn and toil over clothing that we can wear. But just because we participate in these does not mean we're responsible for them. So if life isn't just about food and clothing and making sure we're all taken care of, then what is it about? What is life about? For God, for Jesus, the kingdom of God. It's pretty clear in Scripture that for God, life is about love, relationships. That when he created us in the garden, he did it so that we could be with him. He gave us work to do, take care of the garden, but do it with me. Do it with me. The food and the clothing are settings that God has specifically designed for human beings. No other creature gets this privilege that we can participate in the provision with God. That's our invitation as humans. And that the everyday needs that we have for food and clothing are actually settings for an everyday relationship with God. Joining God in his provision for us. He is responsible. We had our grandkids in our home for a few days this week, and you know what it's like with young children or grandchildren. You might be preparing a meal and they want to help. Let's say you're baking muffins. Well, they want to help. Great. Love to have your help. You know, you don't really need their help, right? But it's about being with them. And the mess gets bigger. There's flour all over the place. And, you know, in the end, you're going, boy, was this even worth it, the help that I got? And you realize that, yeah, because it's about being with our children or our grandchildren. And it's not long, somewhere along the way, these children will begin exerting their independence. Don't help me. I want to do this myself, right? This human nature to step in and do it ourselves. How quickly we exclude God from something that He's invited us into. Something that He is doing, but we want to be responsible for our own food and our own clothing and our own shelter. And in the end, we end up getting anxious about it because we've taken on something that is completely out of our control. So verse 31 says it again. Why are you anxious? Why are you saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? And notice this isn't a command, don't be anxious. Notice this is a therefore. Based on what we just said, why would you be anxious? Life is an invitation to partnership with a loving Father who invites you to the counter to prepare the meal with Him. Why would that cause you anxiety? Food, clothing, shelter, everything provided by God. And then, as if to make His point all the stronger, He says in verse 32, it is the Gentiles that seek after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. That a life that is consumed by the pursuit of food and clothing and shelter, that is the life of people who do not know God. That's the life of someone who does not understand who is responsible for life. That's life outside of the kingdom. And then comes this famous verse, chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And what he's saying is, seek a kingdom life. Seek a perspective of life where God actually cares for all of His creation. And He's given us the privilege of joining Him in the work of provision, not because He needs our help, let's be clear, but because it's an opportunity for us to be with Him as He provides for us. That we can learn from the birds and the flowers to understand that God loves you, He knows what you need, and He will provide. Now, it's probably important at this point to point out this. That when God is provider, He may not give you all the discretionary budget you want for food. He may not give you all the choices. He may not give you all the designer clothes that you want. He may not even give you the house that you think needs to be renovated. And if you feel like you're being cut short on this, that, my friends, is an indication that your treasures are in the wrong place. And that's a very telling statement in our culture. It's an indication that these have become treasures. Possessions is not the issue. The issue is, have they become treasures? The Gentiles seek after these things, and Jesus' word is, seek first the kingdom of God. His final word on the subject in verse 34. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself, and sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This reminds me of the Lord's Prayer, right? Give us our daily bread. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And from the Lord's Prayer, perhaps saying it this way, sufficient for the day is the daily bread. That's all we need. That's all we really need. But we tend to think we need more, because our security tends to be what's in the storehouse rather than our security being in God who provides daily. So that's the text. That's the text. Let's take a few minutes now to, we'll talk about this together. Ask our three questions. The first one is, what does it teach about God? Second, what does it teach us about ourselves? And then the third one is, okay, what in the world am I going to do with this? So, first question, what does all this teach us about God? There are some things in there that it just comes right out and tells us what they are. But what's something that stands out to you about what this says about God and who He is? I know we haven't been talking all along, and it takes a while to get that first conversation, that first comment. But what does it teach us about God? Let's say the obvious things first.
God provides.
God provides. Absolutely.
He's a benevolent God.
He's a benevolent God. Yes.
He's comfortably in control.
God is comfortably in control.
He values us.
He values us. Absolutely. More than the birds, more than the grass. Sorry.
Cares about
the little things. Awesome. Anything else? It says He knows your need. He knows you need this stuff. He's not unaware. Oh, God, did you know that I'm hungry? Well, of course He knows you're hungry. We don't have to. God knows what we need. He's a provider. He's taking care of the details. What does this passage teach us about ourselves and our tendencies? So this is a little more, your answer doesn't necessarily reflect something about you, okay? Your answer reflects something about us, okay? So let's put that out there, and let's be a little vulnerable. What does it teach us about ourselves?
We
like to be in control.
We're never satisfied.
We're never satisfied. Isn't that the truth? He who has money never has enough, right? We are prone to worry. Yeah, absolutely. Anything else? Okay, we have a tendency to get sidetracked from things. Okay, so He gives us light so we can see and do. We can understand these things. He brings light to us so we know how to actually act in these things. Okay? I mean, these are great things to be able to say. I mean, and the way Jesus makes His point is simply this. It's clear that God's in control of creation. It's clear that He's providing everything. So why worry? It's just this leads to this, which leads to this. And the only thing that leads to worry is if we step into control or if we start treasuring things more than simply possessing them. And I know it's a hard, sometimes it's hard to discern what that is. Rudy?
Yeah, I think the other thing is, we trust God to look after our needs, but if there's anything more than we get here, then
okay, so he said, we tend to trust God to take care of our needs, but if there's anything other than that, we'll take care of that part ourselves. Okay? Retirement.
We cannot look after retirement.
Right. So God's going to look up to, God's going to take it, you know, God's going to take care of us until we retire, but after that it's up to me. And, I mean, that's what we're trained to do, right? I mean, our financial planners, what are you going to have in place? And Melissa and I, we're getting to that point, we're asking that question, and I'm seriously going, does my theology change when I retire? Like, does God stop being the provider? And these are just good questions that we should ask ourselves. It's not the having. It is not the having. It's the treasure. It's the, this is where my security is so I don't have to worry. And if that's what's causing you not to worry, Jesus says you probably should worry because that's going to burn out. Sorry, Sean.
There's that little phrase that says, oh, you have little faith.
Yeah.
Like, can I not trust?
Yeah. Yeah, so Sean's pointed us to the final phrase that he's talked about, oh, you of little faith. And that, do we really not trust God? And the answer is, no. I mean, seriously, this is what he's calling us out on. He says, there's a way of living that we can be freed from all these kinds of anxieties. And so I'm just going to ask you to think about your own possessions. Nothing wrong with possessions. and your treasures. Because he says, your treasure's going to be where your heart is, and your heart is designed to be with God at the counter, making a mess with the flour, letting him provide, and you're just participating with him because it's a privilege to be with our Father in the kitchen providing. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for your clear promises in this passage of Scripture, that you know what we need, that we truly are the pinnacle of your creation, and that if you would care so abundantly for birds and flowers, that it's just a no-brainer that you would care for us. But you've also pointed out our tendency, our almost need to be in control. And to lay that down and to say that, God, you're in control. And that the things that I have that's great. Help us to be good stewards of them, but not to treasure them. God, make us aware of where our hearts are resting so that we aren't surprised someday when it's gone. That we're not too disappointed someday when these things are stolen or rust or burn up in a fire that nobody anticipated. God, make us wise. Make us people of faith that learn how to bridge that gap, to stay dependent on you for our daily bread, our daily shelter, everything that we need for life. Amen.